Welcome everyone to The Pulse. I'm Bill Anderson, happy to be back again. And today we've got we've got a special show that I'm happy to bring to you. Somebody I've known for several years as she was breaking into the music industry. She's from New Jersey. She is a singer, a songwriter, now award-winning, has overcome several challenges, and she goes by Jax. She joins us on The Pulse. So I normally will go into the whole, like, let's start from the beginning, go through backgrounds and all that kind of stuff. But now I feel like I should start with congratulations. Like, you're fresh off of winning an award from iHeart Music.
Thank you. This is the coolest morning ever. I woke up at like 5 a.m. screaming and pacing around the house.
I obviously follow you on social media, so I saw the whole celebration. But walk us through that. What's that like? Because you're up against people who are like, you know, equally big deal.
I am a big fan of everybody who was nominated on this category. So, and same with Social Star. So I was like, first of all, I found out about this on Twitter. And I was like, wait, what? So like people, like fans were telling me, hey, like, did you see this? And I'm like, oh, no way. Because I've been a fan of like Sarah Berrios for a million years, you know, Vault Boy is awesome. And so they're my favorite TikTok songwriters too. So they picked a really good bunch of kids. So it's been really cool. It's an honor. It's very, very cool.
The TikTok Songwriter of the Year, right?
Yep.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Like that's
you know, you're in the studio now.
Yeah, right? It's amazing the kind of things that you can do. So tell me, it's interesting because it's cool and you celebrate. And I was just on your TikTok page, you know, 8.5 million followers. Like, I know, right? You laugh about that. What's that even like to know that you've gotten to that point?
It's really hard to process. First of all, it's like, I feel like I'm in just songwriter heaven because I think the biggest challenge as a songwriter, you write so many songs. I mean, I maybe at a certain point I was writing like 10 to 20 songs a week, not just for myself, but for other artists behind the scenes, like a ghostwriter. And with no kind of falling on deaf ears. And TikTok is so cool in that, like, you can be in any place in the world, in any room with zero recognition. And then all of a sudden, like from your bedroom, something can just blow up overnight. So it was really actually overwhelming and hard to process, but it made me very excited that I get to do what I love for a living and people are actually watching now. So that's just, it's a dream come true, really.
It sounds really odd to talk to somebody who's what, 24?
I'm 25.
Okay, so you're 25.
We're in crisis.
You're all grown up. Now, to talk to somebody at 25 and at the same time say, you've been at it for a minute. You know, so.
I've been writing songs forever since I was like a baby. And that's the crazy thing on here too, is like there are so many people my age, like millennials, and then there's like a million Gen Z people as well. So I think it's like really cool to see the younger generation pop off in songwriting.
Is it? But you started, I was reading about you like performing at the Stone Pony in Jersey at like 11 years old, you know, kind of doing it very young and out there and doing that grind. Is it cool to see now that you can do it like this? Like you can kind of control your own ability to reach out directly to people.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And it's like, I mean, my awkward self with like braces at the Stone Pony, just like singing Joan Jett covers back in Jersey was like the start of all things rock and roll for me and how much I love music. But I think the coolest thing is that like, I'm always panicking. I think anyone who's a musician or a songwriter and then people in general, you kind of just know like the music industry is so cutthroat and it's so impossible, especially with the internet, to just break through the noise. So there is this like comfort feeling that finally like I can just do what I love, write what I love, be myself in my sweatpants and, you know, just do it for a living and get to have fun every day. So.
What is that? Like, I feel like this sounds odd. It makes me feel really old. But I met you as a, who were you, high school junior, senior at Chasing News at like
probably
17 years old, you know, went in a back room to sing with dogs barking and everything all throughout.
I will go down with this shit. And now I'll put my hands up and surrender.
So you were doing it even then, because I remember dogs barking and everything. You weren't the least bit fazed by that was kind of the thing that was going on.
But, I love dogs. Yeah.
Okay. Is it hard though when you start at 11 and you're kind of pushing through it and you're writing songs at 17 at different periods of time where you're kind of going through young people's stuff? Is it hard to be pushing into the spotlight at that age?
It's a little bit of both. Like the young people stuff is what makes for a really good dramatic, emotional songwriting phase. And that's actually, I mean, I just think my teenage hormones were what brought me to songwriting, probably just these dramatic breakups and everything like that,
right.
Where everything is like heightened as a kid. But yeah, no, for sure. Like, I think that for the people around me that were kind of pretty in a routine process, my family, my friends, people in our town, like it was like, you know, go to college, find a skill set, do your thing, not just like kind of fingers crossed, I'm just going to work really hard and see what happens. And hopefully I have a job one day and I get to do this. But yeah, it's a lot of pressure, I think, for people that aren't in the grind of it and understand, because I think when you, even in any kind of freelancing job, any kind of creative job, it's the only thing you have to depend on is how hard you work and how often you do it and how much you practice and hone in on your craft and stuff. So if you don't do it, you're kind of just like, there's this massive world of competition and amazing talent and whatever it is that you kind of have to break through. So a lot of pressure, but you know, good drama, good intensity. I like the pressure. So,
and you know, the other thing that's interesting about it is because you're still fairly young, particularly in the field that you're in, you know, a lot of people will say, oh, this overnight sensation, like she came out of nowhere, you know, but it's been like 10 years to become an overnight sensation. Were you ever discouraged? Because it didn't, you had kind of some ups and downs and people knew your name and there were some experiences, but it didn't initially skyrocket to fame. Ever get discouraged as you were going through that?
Yeah. Oh my God. Still right now in life, every day. It's just like you get in your head all the time. I mean, yeah, no, it's funny. Like the biggest overnight thing, that feeling that I've gotten, because obviously I've been working at it for a long time. But I think that my biggest mistake for such a long time was, you know, letting kind of industry folks and people whisper in my ear and like what I was telling you what I was supposed to be all the time. Like it was like, oh, you gotta be more mysterious, you gotta be sexier, you gotta like show more skin, you know, write like your songs are too like tongue-in-cheek, you know, and like I like, you know, I like poetry and puzzles and stuff like that. So like they're like, no, none of that, dumber. And finally I was like, the pandemic brought me to a place where I could be myself, and it happened overnight, just I think from pure authenticity. Like, and that was the coolest feeling. I was like, finally, I'm just not going to listen to any of that and do what I always wanted to do and sing the way I want to sing and write the way I want to write and be as like nerdy and dad-like as I want to be and how I am to my friends. And then that's what feels the most overnight to me. I think when you go so many years being something you're not, or trying too hard to like copy something, you know, it's just like, it's exhausting.
Well, and it what's cool about it, a lot of things are cool about it, but it does feel like the real you, the authentic you, you know, the person who was fine sitting in a back room, you know, with dogs barking and just singing along. That resonated with people. Like when you got to that person is when it kind of took off.
Thank you. That's it. That's I feel very much 100% me right now. And I can't stop smiling. This is very, very cool.
I don't want to be the downer person, but I do want to take a step back, because you're kind of on that path to success and you're writing songs and what have you. And then it was really widely publicized that you got sick. You know,
I did.
You got diagnosed with thyroid cancer.
Yes.
And young, you know, what, like at 21 years old, you're dealing with that.
I think around 2021, they took my thyroid out.
Yeah.
They took it out, and then it came back again in my lymph nodes, which was scary, but also opened up a lot of doors. I hate to be like the person's like, there's always a light, but at the end of the day, it was like such a good wake-up call for me as a young person. When you're 20 and 21, you're just not really thinking about your body as a temple and stuff like that. So I took a deep breath and I actually used the time in recovery and to get into remission with that by not writing songs for me, just writing songs for everyone else behind the scenes and not telling anyone. I kind of just like crawled into a little hole, was a little depressed for a second and freaked out. So it was my family. And then what got me through it was just writing and writing and writing and keeping my mind occupied.
So you are always, you described yourself still do, well, I think now maybe it's social media phenom along with singer songwriter, but wow, right? Throw the titles out there. But while you're going through that, the singer part of it, you at least thought was in jeopardy.
Oh yeah, all the time. I still do in life. I'm very concerned always about my vocal. You can see the scar here. I used to be weird about it. Now I'm like, this is a cool scar. It's like, right, so the thyroid is normally, not mine because it's gone, but normally it's right under the vocal cords. So okay. Vocal cords rest here, and then like literally within like millimeters, it's the vocal cords. And I've seen like surgeries go terribly wrong where one little thing and you're like, voice is gone forever. It's like a whole thing. So it was everything I ever worked for right here all at once. It was actually weirdly like poetic and in that weird, crazy way.
Did it prioritize things for you? Did it make you understand? Like, that was super important to you, but you focused on your songwriting. And I guess it kind of made, I guess, life a priority.
Yeah, I mean, literally, I like to run a lot. That's like the only thing I do aside from songs. That's the only thing I'm good at aside from songs. But like, for a while, I had to be on bed rest. I was relearning how to work the nerves in my face. Like, you would just, since the surgery, I would just like go to brush my teeth and miss my mouth because that's the same with my voice. I had to relearn how to work all these like neck muscles and stuff like that. The minute the doctor was like, all right, you're good to start exercising, you're good to go, I was like, bucket list, let's go, let's do everything. And I ran the New York Marathon within a month of that. Just like a psychopath, didn't train, was super unprepared for it, but it was really cool. That was the adrenaline rush of that.
That's amazing. And to see, and you talked about the whole, I don't want to be that person who's all about positivity. We're okay with that person. Like, that's kind of what this show is about, and letting people understand that they can do those types of
things. We didn't get anything to eat.
And they can kind of over. I think we're hearing something in the background.
Yeah, I think Tom. I think you need to go.
There he goes. That's all right. That's why we edit. We're all good with that kind of stuff. So you mentioned, you know, you come through that. You're recovered. You're back to doing what you want to do. The pandemic hits because it's kind of one thing after another. Did that drive you to focusing on the social media? And that was kind of the, all right, I can do this myself.
Yeah, I don't know about I can do this myself. It was more like an absolute fear, strip, panic, like freak out. Like, I think with everyone else on the same page, because the way I moved out to Los Angeles from Jersey, and the way I was making money, especially coming out of that like bad time, I was like, regroup, go, you're going to be an adult, you're going to make a living out of this. And somehow I managed to do it in small chunks. You know, I was like, I would get a cut here with like Johnny Orlando or like a K-pop band, and a cut meaning like for songwriters, you kind of write a bajillion songs and you hit the studio every single day, and then maybe one per year gets cut and that'll pay your rent for like a year. Right. So when the pandemic hit, everybody was out of the studio, not a single person. Maybe like sometimes you were writing songs on Zoom, but it was not paying the bills at all. So I was collecting unemployment, watching a lot of Tiger King, a lot of Love Island, yelling at my boyfriend, he's yelling at me, and then I'm like, we're in love, we're laughing, whatever it is, just the poor panic. And I was like, I have to do something. I had to put my music out there, or some sort of music out there, because what am I going to do? Like, what if this pandemic never ends? We thought it would last for 2 weeks, but now it's like 6 months in and you're freaking out. So I started like just putting things on TikTok and not really knowing how the app worked at all. Kind of like taking myself a little seriously too, like what I was talking about before, being like, just too cool for school kind of thing. And then eventually I put out Stacy's Mom from Stacy's Mom's Perspective, like which is like my mom, my Long Island mom,
right?
And like I just figured that Stacy's mom was much like my mom anyway, so I put that out and literally went to bed with 1,000 views on it, and it like is that woke up with like 10 million views on the freaking song. And then I ended up saying to myself, like, okay, I'm not a comedian. by any means. I don't know how this happened, but I'm gonna shoot my shot and like post an original that's been collecting dust from one of those studio sessions in Los Angeles and see if people listen to that too. And that was Ring Pop. And that was the moment I realized that like this is the coolest platform and stage and tool I could ever have asked for. And it just didn't stop since then. So panic is the answer.
Right. Why do you think, and I, you know, I've gone through of them, the little girl you babysit, you know, helping her get back at bullies and all of that kind of stuff. Why do you think that kind of stuff resonated with people so much? Like to the point where you are getting more views and followers than, you know, you have more followers than Gwen Stefani. And we were just talking about Gwen Stefani, like reposted one of your videos. Why do you think so many people just kind of bought into it?
I think what's unique about this app, there's a lot of unique things about this app, but mainly it's that I think in a time where everything is a lot of overstimulation, there's a lot of like flashing lights on Instagram and really hot models and like all the cool things that you aspire to be. But the thing about TikTok is like, we all got to live in the pandemic together from our living rooms and our bedrooms. And what the authentic DIY thing that we have going on, all of us at once. So I think the people on the app are craving just realness and like actually what I'm wearing. And like, I didn't shower today. And like, these are like, this is real life, you know?
Right. When so keeping it real goes wrong.
What's up? Camera can't smell, you guys. No, I think it's about just everybody kind of being on the same level and being superhuman on this app. So I think that was probably it. And I think the other thing is everybody really wanted to smile during a really pretty scary time. So
So you have, I mentioned the little girl you babysit. I've seen you get back at exes who I can only imagine... You know, ex-boyfriends who didn't handle things well, like the dramatic reading of ex-boyfriend. I'm sitting there watching that going, wow, like, you talk about regret. Now there's a million people, millions of people. Have any of those people reached back out to you and go, yo, you put me on million blast?
I love a lot to say this. Yeah, and a little bit.
Maybe.
I just sounded like the Uncut Gems girl.
Nice.
No, I try not to like name names too hard unless I was like really hurt and then I have to go full T-Swift. I think everybody's on good terms now. I think those things are from ages ago. I feel bad for my current boyfriend because no matter how much I tell people, there's such a short attention span on the internet that it's like some people just watch like the first 5 seconds of a clip and they're like, how could your boyfriend do that to him? We hate him now. And he just gets these like crazy DMs thinking it's all him. And I'm like, no, this was an ex from like 5 years ago. Stop, leave him alone. Right.
It's like, it wasn't me. It wasn't me.
I didn't sign up for this.
So you go through that. And I a lot of things we want to talk about. And I know we have limited time. And you're traveling and doing all those kind of fancy things. But
I'm coming to see you.
Right? Come on into the pulse. You're doing the fun stuff. You're doing the get back at people stuff. You're doing the express yourself stuff. And then you get to Like My Father. You know, yes. And tell me about that. Like how you got to that process and the impact that had, because it's had significant impact.
I mean, thank you. Thank you for asking, because I have never been, it's hard. I write a lot of pop songs and stuff like that. And it's sometimes harder to connect to some than others. But for that song, specifically, I was up for days straight when I wrote it, just out of pure excitement, because for me, it was like a perfect balance of like, here's what I want to inspire the world with. Like, here's what I want people to kind of strive for and the happiness in a relationship. But I also want to tell my own individual story and share my own experience with what I grew up with and what my parents are, even if it might be different from somebody else's parents. And I was kind of nervous that like, not everybody would connect in that way, because my parents are really unique. You've met them. They're grossly in love to the point where we used to be like, ugh, that's so gross. Like, stop making out. That's disgusting. And then as I got older, I was like, oh God, this is what I want. Like, this is it. Like, to be in an adult relationship where the love just grows as you grow. And just the stupid stuff, like the dirty post-it notes and like the faking Scrabble stuff and burning dinner and all the things that like kind of pop into my head when I think of my parents' goofy, grossly in love relationship. And when I wrote it, the first thing I wanted to do was obviously send it to my mom and dad. And I was like, wait, should I surprise them and like hold off on it and then actually try to get their reaction to it on TikTok, like the mean little daughter I am. And I did, and it was pretty beautiful. And then the next day I was like, oh yeah, yeah, by the way, like I was going back and forth with all the like corporate people, and they really wanted to hire some actors for this music video to play my parents, but I didn't feel like that would do the video or the song justice. So you guys are starring in it. Pack your bags. We're going to Georgia, and mom, we're getting you styled.
Nice.
You guys are going to star in this music video. So it was probably the coolest like song release. I had such a good time. It was so authentic to my family. So
well, and for people who don't know, like your father was, you know, big time, you know, firefighter, you know, went out there when 9/11 hit and was one of the people who responded to that. And both he and your mom were in tears when you played this song for them. That had to feel good, right? To see that like this big tough hero kind of responding to that.
The big tough hero is actually the most emotional one, I think. Don't tell anyone. Tell anyone. Good thing this isn't on TV or anything.
Yeah, right. Just between you and I and you know, others.
Yeah, just us. Yeah, it's cool. They've always been very expressive and loud and Italian and very Brooklyn family. So it was a cool experience to see them like just connect with the song the way I did. I cried when I wrote it. So it's very cool.
But since then, it's become people's wedding songs. There are little girls who are sitting there like sending you videos or tagging you in videos. Did you have any idea? I mean, you knew how much it meant to you. But these young ladies are feeling empowered because of this song that you wrote.
I had no idea the response that the song was going to get. Like, I am, people, even my own friends are like, you're my daddy daughter dancing. I was like, what? That's like insane. First of all, I haven't seen you in forever, but like, am I invited to the wedding? No, it's cool. I love the idea that, I know it's like a tricky time in the world with like, who knows, like some marriages are different than other marriages and stuff like that. But I love the idea of being kind of a hopeless romantic and young girls being a hopeless romantic and just like loving their dad the way their dad treats their mom and stuff like that. And it's very, very, very cool. There's some really talented kids that cover this song. Like, I was like, wow, this is better than mine.
Now let's not get too far, but there have been
there's like this 1 4-year-old girl the other day I watched and I was like, how is your voice like this?
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. I saw you performing with Flo Rida. That was pretty cool. I've seen the various people in your posts, and you're kind of doing all of these celeb collabs. Gwen Stefani, as I said, responds to your post. And each time this happened, that the Flo Rida performance, you seemed legitimately just like, oh my God, like just happy to be doing that performance. Like, I don't know if this is probing, but that seems really, your responses always seem like, I still can't believe this is me. Is that real?
I can't. Flo Rida, like, are you kidding? Oh my gosh. The amount of like teenage, like school bands, like apple bottom jeans. And I was like, and you know what? It's so crazy. Like, people are always like, wow, you're like, you're famous. Like, you're meeting all these famous people. And the genuine reality of it is, I'm a fangirl. And the reason I get these collaborations is because I literally just shoot my shot and I comment on people's videos and I send them a gross amount of messages and DMs and say, hey, I love you. I know this is a long shot, but do you want to sing a song together? And then sometimes, I mean, that was great. When Stefani, I didn't know what was happening. Someone said that to me, but like Flo Rida, we were just like, hey, we're going to play the same show. And then boom. And the craziest thing about that show, sorry, I'm going on a rant here, but the craziest thing about that show was that we were in the middle of a pretty gnarly hurricane and it was on Jones Beach, which is like, for those of you who don't know, it's like a venue on the water. So basically like hurricane flood zone 911, full of first responders that are panicking, by the way, because it was for a first responder event for 9/11. Okay. So you have all these like firefighters being like, get out! Just like electrical warning sirens. And the second I hop on with Florida, like this is my moment. I go, hey, Julia. And then boom, like evacuate the front row. Water starts pouring up to everyone's like chest. Like it was my dressing room. I had to throw everything out. It was underwater.
All right, but it's a good story, and you still got to perform with Flo Rida, and it still makes for a good video.
We got through the song.
That's awesome. All right, see now, and we're getting ready to wrap it up. I know you got a plane to catch. When I said we were going to do this interview, I sat there and I was like, oh, she writes songs on the spot. I should have her write a song for the show. And then, I wasn't going to do that to you. And my producers and everybody else were like, yeah, Bill, she does that for a living. Like, I'm pretty sure we would have to pay her for that.
Pay me in Dunkin' Donuts.
Right?
What?
You got it.
Okay, you got to drop some bars. What rhymes with pulse?
What rhymes with pulse?
Oh, wait. You're going to make me write a song? You're not going to co-write it with me? Like, I'm out here with Bill, and we're on the pulse. And I've known him for a long time, and he still really, really likes me somehow. Even though I talk a lot, because he talks a lot too. And if you will, Bill, I want to hang out with you.
Boom. Boom. We will end it there. I have two things I need to ask of you before we let you go.
Hit me.
First, your life, your songs, all those things have been an inspiration for people. We like everybody to get the opportunity to kind of use their voice for good. So what's your advice for young people who are watching, aspiring songwriters, the little girls who are watching all of this? What's your words for them?
Okay. For little girls specifically, on one end, 100% do you. Tune out, 100% be you. That was my mistake for my whole life, because I listened to all these things like standards of what girls should be and how they should look, how they should sound and think and stuff like that. Be a boss, just do it. 100% be you. Tune it out, tunnel vision. And then just generally speaking, I think it's important to practice really, really hard and hone in on one craft. There's like a million things. I have a very short attention span. So I'm like, oh, today I'm going to learn how to bake bread. Today I'm going to learn how to do this. I think like the laser focus on the one thing that you truly love, you'd be unstoppable if you just keep practicing.
Jax, real talk there. You're one of those people that we like to see have success. It's amazing to see the things that you've been through, the things that you are doing, and remain the same person. So I really appreciate you taking the time to come on with us. It's very cool. Congratulations on your award. And we wish you continued success.
Thank you. The feeling's mutual. I love seeing you move from thing to thing and just turn into a rock star. So I can't wait to see you and give you a big fat hug. And I love you and thank you for having me. This is always so much fun. I wish I wasn't in LA.
It's all right. You'll be back. You're the best. So we're going to shift gears just a little bit. There's so many great things going on, and we want to try to share that information with you. So we're happy to welcome Kevin Burns, the Executive Director of Action Wellness, into the studio here on The Pulse. First, tell us a little bit about Action Wellness and what you guys do.
Sure. So Action Wellness is a social service nonprofit agency. Our focus is primarily on providing services to people with HIV disease, but we also serve people with other chronic illnesses. And we have four offices in Philadelphia, one in North Philly, two in West Philly, one in Center City, and then also an office in Chester, Pennsylvania. And the focus of our services is around removing barriers that people experience accessing primary medical care, medications, health insurance, housing, transportation. And our job is really to remove those barriers so that people can achieve wellness.
And barriers means a lot of things. Sometimes they're financial. Like people need support. And you guys do things to try to be there for them.
Absolutely.
One of those things that's exciting is cool in the event you've got going on, Dining Out for Life. What is Dining Out for Life?
Yes, so Dining Out for Life is a unique partnership that Action Wellness has with the restaurant community here in Philadelphia. This is our 32nd year doing it. It has grown over the years. And basically what restaurants very generously do is on the night of Dining Out for Life, which this year is Thursday, April 28th, they contribute back a percentage of their proceeds from food, food sales from that night, back to Action Wellness. And then diners also have an opportunity to make individual donations to us as well. So very excited to be back in restaurants this year.
I know, right?
Yeah.
In person, trying yes. to do things and coming together. Yeah. There's a lot of restaurants who participate in this.
There are. This year we're a bit over 50 right now. We're hoping to get the number up a little bit more. We're still sort of bouncing back from the pandemic. The numbers really dropped, and largely because restaurants really struggled during the pandemic, and a number of our partners closed, unfortunately. So, but we'll get back there. We'll work on it.
Well, it's cool, though, that even through the struggles, restaurants still recognize that it's important to be supportive of events like this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the pandemic actually, I think, provided an opportunity for us to support the restaurants. So for the last 2 years, we didn't accept donations from restaurants. We asked our people who were ordering in and doing delivery from those restaurants, we asked them to make a donation to us instead of the restaurants giving us anything back. So it was a nice way for us to try to take care of the restaurants a little bit.
You said that you're a little over 50 right now.
Right.
Event obviously is coming up, but are there still opportunities for restaurants who want to participate to get on board?
Absolutely. It's never too late, right? They can call us and we'll be happy to work with them to get them on board. We'll be doing a lot of social media posting, and we'd be happy to promote their restaurants. And our goal is to fill all the restaurants up so they have a really good night.
And then, and basically, our whole role in this is just go have delicious food for a good cause. Like, it's no real
yeah.
difference to us other than we're donating through eating.
Exactly, exactly. It's an opportunity to come out, you know, have a nice dinner out, and support a really worthy cause, and support the restaurants as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, the proceeds go to Action Wellness.
They do.
Any specific program or just the general good work that you're doing?
Yeah, so we use these as unrestricted funds, so it fills the gaps between what we get from government contracts and the true cost of services. The biggest program that this event supports is our Volunteer Buddy program. So that is a program that we completely support through donations and fundraising events. That program has about 300 volunteers who provide one-on-one support to our clients. So they have weekly contact, phone contact, they get together, maybe cook a meal together, go out to a movie, and it's meant to provide practical and emotional support. And then our buddies also help with things like grocery shopping, and if the client needs someone to go with them to a medical appointment, they may do that. Or it's about building a relationship of support. So our volunteer buddies, I always say, that's how we started as an organization. We were an all-volunteer organization when we started. I was a volunteer buddy back in 1986. And so that's how I got involved with Action Wellness. And the buddies are really our heart and soul. They really increase our impact and do an amazing job.
Is it something that, and you guys help a lot of people dealing with a lot of things, but talking about HIV, things like that, is it something that we need to kind of rededicate our focus to? Because sometimes you kind of forget with everything yeah. else going on yeah. that there is still the need for this.
Absolutely. And there's still a great need for education around prevention, a great need for people, especially poor people. So the majority of the people we are working with are living well below the poverty line. And so they need assistance to make sure that they get their medication, that they take it regularly. Because the reality is, if we can get them to have an undetectable viral load, their viral HIV load down far enough, then they can't transmit the disease either. In addition to being well themselves, it's a really strong prevention strategy. So, yeah.
So people who can't, I can't imagine why, but if something happens and you can't participate in Dining Out for Life this particular time,
yep.
there are still ways that we can be supportive of the organization?
Absolutely. So we're always looking for volunteer buddies. So come and work with us and get to know our clients. That's something it's one huge way that we need support. And then people can donate to us directly through our website, which is actionwellness.org, and they can donate there. There are some specific things they can do. We have an Amazon wish list of things that our clients need, so they can, and we're part of the Amazon Smile program, so when they purchase things, if they identify us as the charity, some of those funds come back to us as well. We also, in addition to our buddies, we have volunteers that work in our offices and do things, clerical things during the day. We really work hard to find a good volunteer job that fits with what the person wants to do and how they want to give back.
We appreciate you spending some time with us. You get the last word. Tell people why they should be supportive of the organization as a whole, why it's so important to dine out for life. You get the final thought.
Very good. So Action Wellness mission is to make sure that nobody faces chronic illness alone. And so these funds help us to meet that mission and to achieve the vision of all of our clients, whether they're HIV or have chronic illness, can achieve wellness and live happy, full lives. So we need your help to do that, and we're very grateful for the support that we get.
One last time, how do they get in touch?
So you can reach us directly at 215-981-0088. You can visit our website, actionwellness.org. There's a list of all the participating restaurants on our website, but you can also send us a message, and we will we'll get back in touch with you about opportunities of how you can work with us.
I appreciate you spending some time with us. We're about this whole concept of use your voice for good. Like, that's what we're trying to do with The Pulse. That's what you're doing. So we appreciate being able to share a little time with you. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Absolutely. Guys, thank you so much for listening to the Pulse podcast. I enjoy all of these discussions, and I hope you do as well. But having known Jax for several years and seen her kind of overcome different challenges from cancer to the struggles of trying to break into the industry as a young person, she's one of those people that it is really nice to see her success, and we were happy to share it with you. And the other cool part is that oftentimes when we're cutting things down for TV, you don't get the opportunity to share pretty much everything. Some of the banter, some of the back and forth, some of the things that just couldn't make it onto TV for any number of reasons. And I'm happy that we're able to do that on the podcast. I hope you enjoyed it as well. Just the realness, the authenticity, somebody who's willing to admit the struggles that they've overcome and share that. And you're seeing them reap the rewards both in success but also impact that they're having on other people's lives. So thank you so much for listening. Make sure you subscribe to the Pulse with Bill Anderson podcast. And if you want to watch on TV, if you're in Philadelphia, you can watch on Fox 29 Monday evenings at 6:30. Nationally, you can always watch on Fox Soul Mondays at 9 o'clock. Thank you so much. We appreciate you. We'll be back to do it again next week.